story. I love it. It's amazing. Hey, listen, by the way, just on behalf of sleep-deprived parents everywhere who struggle to get out of bed in the morning and have to deal with our kids yet again, if you ever feel like God is telling you to open a coffee shop, He absolutely is. Please do it. We need your coffee. Thank you. Also, this may be prophetic. I think God's telling somebody in this room to start a coffee delivery service. That's what I think. I will leave my window open and you can just put it on my bedside table. That would be magical. Just consider it. Maybe God's saying to you. I don't know. Hey, my name is Kyle. If you've never met before, I'm part of the staff here. Been on staff about 14 years, part of our leadership team, and get to talk to you today. And I want you to know right up front, I have an agenda, a very unapologetic agenda. And my agenda is this. I hope to motivate you to do a journey group today. I do. And the reason I do is because joining a journey group has changed my life. Completely changed my life. About 15 years ago, I did a journey group. It was called the Life Journey. Any Life Journey veterans out there? Anybody? Yeah? Long time ago, and I met two guys. I met Greg and Jason, who are still in my life to this day. I would consider them something called a wise counselor in my life. 8 years ago, I met two more guys who have stuck with me, guys named Matt and Walker in the Strong Challenge. Anybody do the Strong Challenge out there? Strong Challenge, great journey. And so I hope to convince you to experience what I've experienced, to find people who can change your life. These guys haven't just changed my life, they've helped me hear from God. That's the series that we're in, by the way, How to Hear God. It's a radical series, it's a controversial series. I don't know if you're feeling that yet, but I would propose to you there's nothing more controversial we could possibly say to you than this claim that we're making in this series, which is no matter who you are, you can hear God. Now, it's controversial, it's radical on a couple different fronts. One, compared to other world religions. If you've done any research on world religions, you'll know that this notion that all religions are the same does not hold up at all. Just look at hearing from God, and you'll see that gods and the God figures in the different religions are wildly different on this one. In fact, almost all of them don't talk to anybody. Not even a person. And the ones that do only talk to either people who lived a very long time ago and no longer talk, or only talk to the special people, which is very convenient for those people, isn't it? It's also controversial inside the church world, because when it comes to the church world, see, we interpret this verse that Chuck laid out in week one, Jeremiah 33:3, to the extreme. It says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." That's God speaking. Call to me, and I will answer you. And see, here at Crossroads, we don't think this was a promise made a long time ago to people way back when, or only to the special people. We think this is a promise made to all of us. And that makes us very different. And I hope that that's wildly exciting and encouraging to you. That's what we're talking about today, how to hear God. And specifically, what I'm gonna do today is I'm gonna poke you in the chest. I'm just gonna do this, just starts to feel that way, good. That's what I'm going for. Because I'm gonna go after what I think is a lie that sits at the very center of what it means to be an American. And I believe that lie may be holding you back from clearly hearing God's direction for your life. Before we talk about that, go any farther, let's pray. God, I just ask for you to say what you want to say, and I ask for all of us to clearly hear you. I don't want my words to be heard, I want your words to be heard. So please do that, please talk to us, please instruct us, and we'll listen. Amen. Well, today is about how to hear God's direction for your life. How do you hear God's direction for your life? And by direction, I don't mean small things, little things, and I don't mean things like encouragements. You know, God can talk to you and give you an encouragement, or He can give you a little instruction. I mean direction, like big direction, decisions that can determine the course of your life. How do you hear God on those? Things like, do you go to college or not go to college? And which major do you pick once you get to college? And if you don't like the major, do you switch majors? And should you date that girl? Should you date that guy? What about marrying them? Should you marry them? Should you move into the apartment? Should you buy the house? Should you take the job? Should you quit the job? Should you move? Should you stay? Should you retire? Should you not retire? Should you drink beer before liquor or vice versa? I can't remember the riddle. It's been a long time since college. Big decisions, you know? How do you make them? How do you hear God on those things in your life? And maybe, just maybe, you're making one of those right now. Maybe you're in that spot. I made a decision, a major decision, a while ago, actually, but it's time for me to tell you about it. And that is that I decided a while ago to leave my job at Crossroads. And I would love to walk you through why, because what's most important to me is I want you to see and understand that in making this decision, I did my very best to hear from God. And in fact, I'll walk you through it, but I would say based on what I could see, based on what I could hear, I made a great decision. Made a great decision. For context, when I just made this decision, I had been in my job for 7 straight years. Same job. And I liked my job, but it was monotonous. It was like the same thing, just over and over and over and over and over again. It was monotony. Didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. And I had heard from God years before through some people who would say these sorts of things to me, and that God had other plans for me, that in my early 30s, I'd be part of leading a church. And when I made this decision, that wasn't happening, and it wasn't on the horizon for me. And I also heard things like one day I would be teaching, like on a stage, and that wasn't happening. And then this word came to me. It was I say God said it, but in this series, we're not talking about an audible voice from heaven that goes, thou shalt do, you know, whatever. No, it's not that. It's like a thought that kind of plops in your head, and it feels like it came from somewhere else. And had one of those, and it was this phrase, I'm taking you to green pastures, which means like prosperity and freshness and newness, certainly not monotony. And right about the time that I heard that, this unexpected job offer came my way, and I'm telling you, it felt like green pastures. I'll take you through my pro-con list that I kind of wrote together as I was making this decision, so you'll see. So I really want you to see, I think I made the best decision based on what I could hear. God said green pastures. I saw green pastures everywhere. First, it was a great job, a really great job. Director of marketing for a $500 million company. And my very first project would be rebranding the entire company, which I'm so excited about. That's like my sweet spot. Messaging and how do you craft a message to connect to an audience and look, tone, feel, and experience and all these things that are core to me, core to how God wired me. And I felt like this is green pastures. That'd be so much fun to work on. It'd be amazing. Second, I could literally see green pastures from the office. Literally. When I went there, they showed me that my office would be, and it's like floor-to-ceiling glass, and I could look out, and I could see the Ohio River and beyond, the green pastures and rolling hills of Kentucky. Ha! Beautiful. If you've ever seen my desk at Crossroads, I have not seen the sun in 12 years. You can't see. My wife's like, did you see the rain today? I'm like, no. I have no idea. It could have hailed, you know, like little fire from heaven. I would have missed it. I have no idea. Oh, and the last thing, this is important. The job offer was for triple my income. Triple. Green pastures indeed, right? And it wasn't, the money wasn't about buying nicer stuff, see? The money for me meant I could do important things, like I could send my kids to college. Like maybe it wasn't just green pastures for me, but maybe this would have a ripple effect in my family, because at that time I had no idea how that was going to happen, right? Green pastures. I mean, someday I could think about not needing an income. Someday I could think about actually retiring. I could do things like travel. God's hardwired a love of travel and new experience in me. That's green pastures for me. I saw green pastures everywhere. And so I went for it. Now the con list, we got to talk about the con list too, I suppose. Con list was leaving a job I love. And more specifically, leaving people that I love here. Coworkers that I love. People that I love. And the comfort of all of that. But I quickly realized something that, see, when you leave a job at a church, you don't leave the people because you don't leave the church, right? This is great. I can keep these relationships in my life. This is wonderful. And by the way, I noticed this other thing, that at Crossroads, we have this habit of hiring people who've had corporate leadership experience into jobs at Crossroads. So I figured, you know what? I can leave, have new, fresh experiences, make a lot of money, and come back someday anyway. Perfect. Right decision, right? Based on everything I could see, based on everything I could hear, I made the right decision. What about you? Let's talk about you. Enough about me. What about you? How do you make those decisions? Do you have a pro-con list? Do you seek out good advice from people? You know, what do you think about this? You know, what about this? You do that? Well, I don't know your exact steps and how they order, but I know how they end. They end the same way that mine end, probably. You make the decision. You do. Because this is America. And in America, we are independent. We are the land of the free and the home of we make our own decisions, aren't we? It's the core of what it means to be an American, is independence. And listen, caveat, I am pro-freedom. I am pro-justice, I am pro-democracy, I love those things, I'm grateful for those things, I am grateful for the men and the women who have given up their lives so they can enjoy those things, I love them. But I want you to see this, independence is a bias that we all have. And it doesn't just bias us and color our view on some things, it's a bias on everything, including how we see God, including how we view hearing God. It's a bias of independence. And the thing is, God seems very much less interested in independent living than you and I are. If anything, he wants the opposite, it seems like. So listen, while it's true, I'm telling you this today, you can, no matter who you are, good news. You can hear God's direction for your life, but you can't do it alone. You can't. You can't do it alone. Now, this flies in the face of culture as well. Culture, when it comes to decisions about direction, culture has one piece of advice. It's three words. It's awesome, right? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. It's every Disney movie. It's Moana. Follow your heart to the sea, Moana. It's a good movie, by the way. I like that movie. Follow your heart. There's a problem with that. Your heart and my heart is a big freaking liar. Do you know that? It's a liar. 16 chapters before, the book of Jeremiah says, "Call to me and I will answer you." Jeremiah writes this about our hearts. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" This is your heart. See, your heart is a liar because your heart sees what it wants to see and hears what it wants to hear. That's it. If it wants to see green pastures, it'll see it everywhere. We were on vacation, my family and I, just got back like a week ago. We were on a two-week vacation at the beach. It was amazing. We were on this little island, and about a week into vacation, so I don't know, day seven, day eight, it's low tide, and we're wading in the water with our kids, and we start to step on sand dollars. Has that ever happened to you? Super fun. You can use your feet, or if the water's shallow enough, you can feel with your hands. And what you're trying to do is you feel for something hard, and then you just reach down into the water, and you pick the thing up, and you hope it doesn't have claws or teeth. That's kind of how you find sand dollars. And if you're envisioning the white circle, kind of bone white, smooth circle, that's a dead, murdered, scalped sand dollar. That is not what live sand dollars look like. They come out of the water kind of green and brown and slimy with all these little hairs on them, like just kind of looking at you weird, you know? They don't have eyes. I don't know why I said that. They can't look at you. So I hope they don't have eyes. I have to apologize to lots of them if they do, because we killed a lot of them. Our kids wanted to keep them, and so we decided, okay, you can keep like 10, right? So they pick up these sand dollars, they put them in a bucket, and we decided we're going to go home and bleach them and whatever. So we put the bucket in the minivan, we drive back to the place where we're staying, and somewhere on the ride, and I'm speculating at this point, because I don't know. But here's what I think happens. One of the sand dollars looks at the other sand dollars, and he's like, "Guys, this is not how it ends for me. I do not die in this bucket. I'm getting out of here." And he makes a break for it, you know, like climbs up the side of the bucket and then falls down. Unfortunately, he falls into a deep crevice of my minivan where he will never be discovered to this day. Fact. So the next morning, I go open the door of the minivan, and it's like just death himself has slept in my van, you know? It's this raw, just bleh, burnt hair and dead fish. Bleh. I was like, "Who wants to go to the beach?" You know, it's awful. Couldn't find it. Still haven't found it. I'm mad. I'm gag driving to the beach. Almost crashed again. And at some point, I make this conclusion. I decide the problem is not the sand dollar we can't find. The problem is this stupid van. I hate this van. I'm so sick of minivans. It's like destroyed, disgusting, 100 and whatever thousand miles. And I'm sick of this van. The problem is this van. I need something different. I don't want a van anymore. And then I look up, and across the way, there it is. big, shining, beautiful, the skies part, the angels sing. It's a Nissan Armada. I took this photo of it just so you can enjoy the moment with me. This is exactly what it looked like. It's glorious. It's not a minivan. It's got 3 rows of seats. Big, powerful, you know, just like me. Except I don't have a 3rd row seat though. Like, I need this thing, I need it. And from that moment on, I saw Nissan Armadas everywhere on this island. Now, I don't think Nissan suddenly shipped in 100 Armadas, right? But I didn't see any the first week, and that's all I saw the second week. This is your heart. Your heart will see what it wants to see. You want an Armada? You'll see them everywhere. I'm gonna curse you. Look for Jeep Wranglers. You'll see them everywhere. Stupid Jeep Wrangler drivers. Not that I'm jealous, but whatever. This is how your heart works. Follow your heart is the worst advice you could possibly take. But it's the advice being thrown at you every second of every day from nearly every source of media you consume. Follow your heart. You know what happens when you follow your heart? I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen people follow their heart right into addiction. I've seen people follow their heart right into divorce. I've seen people follow their heart right into debt. That's what I've seen. Because the heart is deceptive. Deceptive above all things. So how do you hear God's voice? How would you ever hear God's direction if your heart is untrustworthy? How would you do it? Well, there's one way in the Bible. There is one way, one source of God's direction. Do you know what the one source of God's direction is? It's Brian Tome. Just kidding. It's Chuck Mingo. Now, the one source is wise counselors. Wise counselors in the Bible. Something sacred. Now, a wise counselor, the quickest definition I could give you, is a wise counselor is not just anybody. This isn't just any friend. Because we're not talking about good advice. We're talking about God's direction. Different. Very different. And so to be a wise counselor, someone must meet 2 criteria. One, they must know and love God. That's most important. 2, they ideally know and love you. That's a wise counselor. They know and love God, and they know and love you. And the benefits of them are enormous. Google Wise Counselors Bible, and you'll find dozens and dozens of verses. Here's one of them, read you. This comes out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. There's safety. Wise counselors are who gives God's direction. Period. That's it. That's the only source. If you want to hear God's direction for your life, you're going to need some wise counselors, and you're going to need to do what they say. You're going to have to throw off the American independence that says, God, surely if he had direction for my life, he would tell it to me. I would hear it. Would he? What do you think is the most important direction God has ever given somebody? What do you think it is? In the history of the world, what's the most important time God ever gave someone direction? Probably make a case for a few different people. I'll tell you mine. I'll tell you my case. I think the person is Paul. Like the Apostle Paul, St. Paul from the Bible. I think it's Paul. And by the way, Jesus should be excluded from this contest. He is God. It feels like cheating to me. I'm sorry. Jesus, just a rule I made up. Paul, I'm going to go with Paul. And I'll prove this point to you by this. Raise your hand if you can hear my voice and you're not Jewish. Am I? Okay, great. Yeah. Just about everybody. What do you know? Well, the only reason you're here and listening is because of Paul. Really. I don't mean that. That's not hyperbole. Really. Paul is the one guy God said, hey, your mission is to take the gospel of Jesus, the message of Jesus, to people who aren't Jewish. And that's what Paul did. Critical. It's changed the course of world history. Critical moment of someone clearly hearing God's direction for their life, if you ask me. Maybe the most important ever. Something to know about Paul. Paul knew how to hear God's voice, like on his own. He was pretty good at it. He wrote most of the New Testament. In one of those books, he even talks about how close him and God were. He's kind of bragging about it. And he's like, yeah, this one time I was caught up to the third level of heaven. So, you know, what's the third level of heaven? I have no idea. I've never been there. Neither have you or anybody else, just Paul. And so if God wants, God could just talk to Paul. And Paul would be like, yeah, what's up, God? Hey, I thought we could meet Paul on the second level of heaven. I have some direction for you. Cool, I'll meet you there, you know? Go like that. But that's not how God chooses to direct Paul's life at all. At all. We're going to dive into Paul's story here for the next few minutes, and I want you to hang with me through his story, because I want you to see every moment of significant direction in Paul's life and how God chose to talk to him, because maybe, just maybe, it's how he'll talk to you too. Story starts in the road to Damascus, and at this point, Paul's name is Saul, so you're not confused when we read the story. His name is Saul, that's his Jewish name. Paul is his non-Jewish name. That's how that works out. And so Saul is on the road to Damascus because at this point he thinks God's direction is to kill Christians. That's how he's helping God. So he's going to Damascus to kill some Christians. Bright light shines out of heaven and knocks him to the ground. It's Jesus. And he starts talking to him. And he says this, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus who you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. Two very important things to note here. One, Jesus does not give Paul the direction for his life. He says, go to the city, and somebody will tell him the direction for his life. Did you catch that? Get there, and then you'll be told what to do. Two, Jesus takes away his eyesight so that Paul can't even get to the city without the help of other people. And like that, in a moment, the only way Paul can hear God's direction for his life is with the help of other people. And he gets to Damascus, and God's prepared this guy named Ananias to know something about Paul, who he is, who he's to become. And he gives Ananias the direction for Paul's life. He says, this is my guy who not only will preach to the Jews, but is going to take my message to all of the non-Jews. He'll appear in front of kings and rulers, and he'll suffer for my sake, for my namesake. He's my chosen vessel. Says it to Ananias. Ananias says it to Saul. There is no record anywhere in Scripture of God ever saying it to Saul. Just Ananias. And in this moment, see, Paul makes this amazing, amazing, humble move. And he says, if wise counsel says it, if Ananias says it, it's not good advice. It's God's direction. And he immediately acts on it. Acts 9:20 is where the story picks up. Immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He took Ananias' words as God's direction. From there, people try to kill Paul. They're mad at him. They try to stone him, and it goes really bad. And so then more direction comes for Paul's life, and it comes in the form of more wise counselors. The disciples, like Jesus' disciples, get Paul, and they're like, hey, man, this isn't going so well, and so we think God's direction for you is actually to go back home to Tarsus. Imagine a burrito in your head. That's Turkey, the country of Turkey. In the middle of the burrito at the bottom is Tarsus, kind of near the Mediterranean Sea. So he sails up from where he is in Jerusalem up to Tarsus. They just kind of exile him almost. But Paul again takes it as God's direction because he just gets on a boat and goes. And I had the privilege of spending time with one of the world's leading experts on Paul last summer, and he brought this time of Paul's life to light in a way that I'd never understood it before. First of all, he said, Paul was there in Tarsus for 8 years. 8 years. And he wasn't preaching, he wasn't teaching, he wasn't being a chosen vessel, he wasn't fulfilling the promise that God had spoken even through Ananias to him. He was just doing nothing. It's monotony, day after day after day after day in Tarsus. And more than that, this guy said, you know, Paul, likely would have been married, likely would have had kids. But when he showed up as a Christian, his family would have shunned him. He would have been an outcast, unable to see them. And so he would have been not allowed to live in the city. He would have been cast out into the hills, where he most likely lived alone in a cave. Alone in a cave for 8 years. What I find most remarkable is that he never left. He didn't decide, surely I heard God wrong, or this can't be right, so I'm going to go. He just stayed. Can you imagine how emotionally and physically grueling 8 years in the cave would be? And I think, why? This can't be God's direction or part of his plan. This makes no sense. 8 years in the cave, what a waste of time. Makes no sense. Most challenging to me, I think about what I would do. So I want you to think about what would you do? Would you be so confident that was God's direction, not just good advice, that you would stay in the cave? Would you stay or would you leave? You know what I would do. I would leave. I already told you that. I decided to quit my job. I decided to leave when monotony set in for me. Can't be God's direction. Not green pastures. I'm out of here. What would you do? Would you stay or would you leave? Well, miraculously for Paul, he stayed. And 8 years in, more direction comes, again, in the form of a person. A wise counselor shows up, this time Paul's friend Barnabas. And Barnabas shows up, and Barnabas says, Paul, it's time to come back. Get in the boat with me. We think it's time to come back. We think God's saying to come back. We're going to go to the city of Antioch. They sail down on a boat to Antioch. They spend a year there. And after a year, the church leaders there, they're praying and they're worshiping, and more direction comes through them to Paul. Pick up the story here in Acts 13. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. That's the reach the non-Jewish people part. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. They sent them away. What happens next? I'll tell you what doesn't happen next. Paul doesn't go, guys, super interesting, but I'm going to need God to confirm it inside my heart. You know? Doesn't say that. This is super interesting. I'm just going to need a sign. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say super interesting, but I'm not sure it matches my Enneagram number, you know? I'm more like, I'm kind of a 7, and this feels like a job for a 2. So, no, he just goes. Immediately, he goes. And that would be the last major direction of Paul's life. He gets small instructions, this city versus that city, that kind of thing. But holistically, this is the last major direction that God gives him for his life. He'll spend the next several decades roaming around the known earth, spreading the good news of Jesus. And can I tell you, it was hard for him. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was jailed. He spent nights out alone, sleeping outside. He was in danger. He was in trouble. It was emotionally and physically just grueling, you know? And I wonder, like, how would he endure that? How did he endure decades of that direction for his life? How would he ever do that? You'd have to be, like, trained, like, super intentionally trained and prepared for this moment. Something, I don't know, something super extreme, something like living in a cave for 8 years. Paul endures. He fulfills God's direction for his life, and the world is changed because of it. The world is utterly changed because of it, all because he decided it's not good advice, it's God's direction when it comes from my wise counselors. And he went for it. He went for it. Listen, here's the thing. If the most important moment in human history of God giving his direction was given by God to others, to Paul, it'll be the same in your life. It won't be any different. It'll come the same way. If you want to hear God clearly on the direction for your life, it will only come through wise counsel. You can hear it, you just can't do it alone. It will only come through wise counsel. I wonder, who are your wise counselors? Do you have them? Thankfully, in my life, I do. It's one of the biggest blessings, maybe the biggest, in my life. I have a great collection of wise counselors. I have my parents. I have my wife. I have the friends who I mentioned earlier. Guys like Matt and Greg and Jason and Walker, who I met in these things called Crossroads Journey Groups. I have our senior pastor, Brian. You know, when I quit my job, I did everything I could to hear God, and then I quit. And I was most nervous about telling Brian. And I went to his office to tell him. I was hoping he wasn't there, but he was. I was like, crap, this sucks. Gotta tell him, you know? And so I tell him, he's very gracious, he's bummed, he's very gracious, he asked me a few questions, and then he actually even just prays a blessing, that I'd be successful where I was going and have God's favor and all kinds of cool things. He left to go to the gym, I left to go to my desk, started doing emails, I was like, the hard part is over. Woo! Smooth sailing, green pastures, here I come, you know. And 15 minutes later, he showed up at my desk in his workout clothes, and he said, hey, I went to the gym, and I think God talked to me, and I'm back, because I think I have some things from him you need to hear. He said, listen, I think you are a pastor, and you are a leader. I think you are called to ministry, and I think it is a mistake for you to go. I think you should stay. And when he said that, I was relieved. No, of course not. It's like, crap, I already made a decision. What? Ugh. I wanted so badly to be like, thank you so much, that's so kind. Oh man, I'm gonna miss you too, bud, you know? But thankfully I didn't. I respected him enough and I had enough humility to reconsider. So I went home, it was about 1 p.m, and I tried talking to God first. God, what do you want me to do? What direction? And he gave me no direction. I just kept thinking about these people in my life and that maybe I should talk to them. So I talked to my wife, and I heard her for the very first time. I stopped just seeing green pastures painted over all of her words, and instead I heard her. She said, honey, you'd like this job for like a year, and then you'd be bored out of your mind. And I don't care about the money. I like our stupid minivan and our small house. It's fine. God will take care of us. He always has. And I talked to my friends, these guys I met in Crossroads Journey Groups, and they said the same thing. Oh, man, we think you're made for this. We don't understand why you would leave. You're pastor, you're leader, you're teacher for the church. What are you doing? I heard them for the very first time. And so the next day, I came into work, and I unquit. I said, yeah. That was 8 years ago, by the way. Left that part out. It was 8 years ago. A few years after that, the guy who had offered me that job, who's actually a part of Crossroads, I saw him, I was pumping gas at a Kroger, and I ran into him, and he goes, oh man, hey, listen, I just want you to know, right after you said no, and you chose to stay at Crossroads, we got a new CEO who came in, and he like changed everything. We wouldn't have even gotten to do the stuff we had talked about. You really heard God right on that one. No, I didn't. I didn't hear God right. I heard him wrong. We heard him right. And I chose to take it as God's direction, not just good advice. And I'm so thankful I have, because I can I tell you about the last 8 years? Can I tell you about how I've gotten to baptize both of my boys with those friends from Crossroads Journey Groups at my side? Can I tell you that right now I'm working on a project to help rebrand Crossroads? Can I tell you right now that I've gotten to travel all over the world to help unlock the story of God and share how he is changing the world through our community? Can I tell you how I've gotten to teach hundreds of thousands of people the message of Jesus in a language they can understand? Can I tell you that I've gotten to help lead a church in my early 30s? Can I tell you I've gotten to teach? It's unbelievable. Now listen, some of you have wise counselors. Some of you have wise counselors. It's time you listen to them. You already know what to do. Do it. Do it. God, can you direct my life? He's like, I did. I am. They're telling you. Do it. Others of you, you need wise counselors, and I get that. I'm going to give you all the same advice. Here you go. Ready? This is the closing advice. If you want to hear God's direction for your life, I'm going to tell you what I tell all the millennials, because I'm the godfather of millennials, and they all come to me for advice. How do I hear God's direction? And they want like a magic formula. I'm like, climb up here on my knee, lad. I will tell you of technologies you know not of, things like VCRs and cassette tapes, wonders. You know. And here's what I tell them. You want to hear God's direction for your life? Three things, write these down. Step one, Find three people who know and love God and know and love you. Two, ask them what to do. Three, do it. Bye-bye. It's that easy. You're merely taking good advice in that situation. You're getting the direction of God. You are hearing God. What if this thing that is actually sacred, we have profaned and made it common? I don't think God would like that very much. But we can all hear from him. We can. Now, if you're in the spot where you're like, that sounds great, awesome, good, cool. I don't have any wise counselors. Great news. Oh my gosh, great news. You can find him here. Your wise counselors are here, I promise. I found him here, you can find him here. One of the things that bums me out the most is when I hear people who come to Crossroads and say, this place is so big, I can never meet anybody. I don't mean to insult you, but that's stupid. Come on. You ever walk into Target and go, oh my gosh, this place is so big, they definitely don't have what I need. No! Of course they have what you need, it's Target! Your people are here. They're here. And the very best thing you can do to find them is to join a Crossroads journey group. It's the very best thing. You'll meet some people. And look, maybe it'll work this way for you. Maybe the six or eight people will all become your best friends for life immediately. Didn't happen for me. I would set your sights more on this. Make your goal to connect with one to two of them. Find one to two who could become, over time, wise counselors for you and stick with them. Like, don't drop out of the group week three of the journey. Don't just flake on the whole thing. Don't stop after week four. Do the whole experience. And when you find these people, stick with them even after the journey. And when you do, you will begin to hear God's direction more clearly than you ever have before. And I think he's got good plans for you, and he'll take you there. Now, I've got some instructions for you in just a second, but before that, I'm going to pray for us. God, I thank you that you turned me around, that you corrected me, that you caused me to see your voice through other people, that you caused me to value them so highly that they could carry your words for me. And I ask for all of us that we'd hear your direction for our lives, that we take what people are saying, that you would make it clear what you're saying through them. And if we don't have those people, God, I'm asking that you give them to us. Amen. Okay. Take out your phone. I know you've already got your phone and probably on your knee because you're in that, like, get to the car stance, you know? Just get out your phone and go to open up, you know, Safari or Chrome or whatever your web browser is real quick. This will only take a second. We're almost done, I promise. And type in crossroads.net/journey. Crossroads.net/journey. Okay, are you there? When you get there, you're going to find three buttons. And I want you to click a button before you turn off this video, before you stand up out of your seat. Click one of these buttons. Either sign up to lead a journey group. If you have 1% interest, if there's 1% of you that's like, maybe I should lead a journey group, I'll be a wise counselor for you. That's God. Do it. Serious. Do it. Don't wonder. Do it. If that's not the 1%, click this button. Notify me when journey group signups begin. And what will happen is you'll get a text, I think in a week or so, with easy to follow instructions on how to pick a group for the journey. Or if you don't want to do either of those, we have this convenient third button. I have no desire to grow spiritually. You can just click that button and we'll see you or not later. Thanks for sticking with us today. Next week is the conclusion of this series. Brian will be back. Make sure you don't miss it. Have a great week. We'll see you then. Bye.